Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Adi, third hour, coming alive for the Tiki and Tierney Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios, where we reside every single day, 3 hours a day. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this wet Monday, at least where we are in New York City, New Jersey, tri-state area. But, of course, Tiki and Tierney being heard, being felt around the country, being seen around the country, simulcast on CBS Sports Network, CBS Sports Radio, 140-plus great affiliates, SiriusXM 206, and really good time of the year, PGA Championship week here. You know, by the way, it's just we'll get more into this deeper as, you know, Tuesday, certainly Wednesday with a full big-time preview of the season's second major. You feeling good about Tiger here or no?
Yeah, I am. I think Tiger's got his mojo, his confidence back. Bethpage.
Treated him well in 2002.
Yeah, treated him well. I was going to say, it suits his game. He should have a strong, a solid outing. I don't know if he's going to win. I'm not going to predict that yet. But I do like where Tiger is. And if we get a season where Tiger wins multiple majors after going, what, how many years?
14? Wait, stop getting greedy. Let him enjoy the first
one. No, but seriously, just think about what that does for golf.
Because I've actually heard. Go ahead. I want to hear where you're going with this.
Because we had this. I don't want to say it was an era because it wasn't really long enough. But no. these few years where, you know, Jordan Spieth was the next great thing in the golf world, and then, you know, Brooks Koepka throws his name in the hat.
DJ.
And DJ, you know, he's going to win. How many is he going to win? He mashes it, and he's great around the greens.
Till he three-putted at Chambers Bay.
Exactly.
But he recovered.
Agreed. But, all of these young Rory, exactly, until Rory lost it mentally or whatever happened with Rory's game, even though he's getting it back a little bit.
I think you're right.
But there was, all of this, we're moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, Tiger's great. Phil's fantastic. Maybe he'll show up every now and then. Whatever. Talking about Phil.
Yep.
Whatever. Yeah, we're on with these young guys. That's what we're going to focus on. With the homogenized swings, they all look exactly the same, except for Brooks Koepka. Right? There's no difference. Just which one is that again? Who are we watching?
Mm-hmm. We've talked about not a ton of flair.
No.
They're charisma. Fowler's got charisma.
Yeah, agreed. But they're humble. They're kind of like old school golfers.
Yeah, in a lot of ways. With new age bodies and new age games.
Yeah.
But old school personalities.
And that's kind of what we were moving into. Yeah. Just kind of like, all right.
And you didn't like that era or that entrance into that era.
It felt like it was going to be boring.
Didn't feel that way. I didn't feel that way.
Because who are you going to root for? Right? If you are I'm talking about the parachute golf fan.
Yep.
Not the guy who's, I watch this guy's game and I saw him evolve from when he said XYZ University, and now I look at him now, and I saw him win this amateur and this game, and I love that guy because of where he's come from.
Mm-hmm.
Not that golf
fan.
Yep,
I got you.
The golf fan, it just, all right, oh, there's a major on.
Who flips on CBS on a Sunday to see the back nine of a leaderboard?
That kind of guy? Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Who are you rooting for, right? No one was going to stand out to you,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you just didn't, they're not flashy enough to see them outside of watching them on a flip on Sunday on to see who's leading the leaderboard.
But then don't you think this Tiger Renaissance could be bad? Because it's just going to mask.
No, I think it's fantastic because I think it brings back in that fringe guy to say, well, what's Tiger doing on Thursday? What's Tiger doing on
Friday?
But
eventually Tiger's going to be gone, and eventually the new guys have to. Well, see, I totally disagree.
See, I think
I love the new crop, and they're not even that new anymore. They've been around for a long time. Brooks and DJ and Rory, those guys have been around.
I know they have.
Jason Day, we had on the show.
Are you excited about any of them?
Yes.
Are you
you're asking the wrong guy. I am.
I'm not talking about you. If you are the parachute and golf fan, are you jumping off the couch?
No.
If Jordan Spieth wins a major.
No,
probably
I can't. I can't.
But you are if
no,
Tiger is.
Not.
And how many people did when Tiger won the Masters 2 weeks, 4 weeks ago?
The ratings told the story.
Exactly right.
Yeah. So are you what you're basically saying is when Tiger goes away, golf is dead.
It's not dead.
It sounds like that's what you're trying to say here.
It's not dead. Because
because you said it wasn't interesting without Tiger. And once he's done or he doesn't win, it's not interesting.
There's the incremental fan. Think of it that way. Because there's a I'll watch golf.
Oh, I know you do.
You'll watch golf.
Of course.
And there's a large swath of America that will always watch golf.
Uh-huh.
There's a large swath of America that also could care less.
100%.
Unless there is...
Like I am with tennis. I just don't really care about tennis.
A Tiger Woods, right?
Yep, yep.
If there was a Tiger Woods that jumped into the USTA, right? And he was just amazing. He was big. He's powerful. That black kid.
Yep.
Just dominant. 110 consistently mile serves, and he could get to everything.
Mm-hmm.
He just started winning, Grand Slam after Grand Slam after Grand Slam. He'd be like, all right, let's watch. And he was American.
Meaning he made the game look different.
Exactly.
We'd watch.
You'd watch.
No doubt about it.
And if he wasn't playing, you wouldn't watch.
True.
And
that's
so
true.
Golf, and for a lot of people,
I'm not going to debate you on that.
Exactly
the only thing
like
that.
So Tiger brings his different energy back.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's most exciting about him winning a major, winning the Masters. And what at least I think, and I think you agree with me, dialed up to have a really good golf season in 2019.
Listen, 2019 could be epic. I mean, it's never a bad thing when somebody like Tiger Woods and what he means historically reasserts himself in his individual sporting universe. It's an amazing thing. I'm not going to quibble over that. The only thing that I would add and challenge and actually really disagree on is say if Tiger never made it back, that fusion just didn't work and Tiger's a thing of the past, right? I think what does become a little interesting for that fringe fan, because you're right, that sizzle, that pop, that, oh my God, that's not there necessarily. I got you. But if you fast forward 5 years and somebody like Jordan Spieth has 8 majors, he's already got 3, I think. 3,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and it happened really, really quick.
Yeah,
right?
It did happen very quick.
Years,
and then he collapsed at the Masters, and he's trying to find if he's like 8 or if there's, Rory's got a couple to say, if Rory tacks on 2 in a year, and suddenly he's, he's beginning to get to like 6 and 7, or Dustin Johnson wins 3 majors over the next 2 years, and he starts to get – that's where historically it sucks you in. But I got you.
A little bit, but BT, but here's the thing. If Rory gets – to 5,
mm-hmm.
or Dustin gets the set, whatever, would they get to whatever number? We don't see them enough, right? They're not marketed the same way, right? Tiger is the reason I think a lot of people love Tiger. He's so marketed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about anything that he does on the golf course. He is a brand. I don't know if these other guys have the personalities to be a brand.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know if they have the willingness to. I think they have the personalities. I don't know if they're willing to.
You're probably right.
You know what I mean?
Like the Rolexes.
Some of them have to.
And the Cadillacs. And,
yeah.
I mean, Tiger's everywhere.
Like that stately.
And then on top of that, when he was on the come, meaning when he was where they are now,
mm-hmm.
he was bludgeoning you.
Oh, there's no doubt.
I mean,
he came at the right time. He had a bunch of old guys who looked like they were unathletic.
What did he win the Masters by?
14? Khakis or are you going to wear the light khakis or the dark khakis today?
What did he win the Masters? 14 strokes or something?
I think it was 19?
It was ridiculous.
It was more than 14,
It
I
was
think.
Ridiculous.
15 or 17, right? Whatever it was.
And so
destroyed people.
That on top of the fact that he was marketable, an easy smile.
Yeah. And, I'm not arguing that.
I just don't see any of those kids that we were talking about replicating that.
Fair.
In order to bring that fringe... golf fan deeper.
Uh-huh.
I gotta see you on social media. I gotta see you on commercials. I gotta see you when I'm not watching golf.
Yeah.
You're not seeing those guys when you're not watching golf. Tiger?
I can't dispute that. You know what would be good? We'll move on. A little longer than we thought, but it's all good. It's Tiger Woods. I don't think people mind the week of the second major talking a little bit about Tiger Woods. But we'll get back to hoops in a sec. What would be good for golf, and I don't know if this type of golfer could exist in today's conditions with the microscope of criticism, I would love to see almost like a modern John Daly. Not so much with the drinking and the cigarettes.
Just a bad boy.
A bad boy. A golf bad boy. Golf needs a bad boy. A guy who maybe smashes a putter greenside or, lets out a few F-bombs. And you might cringe a little bit, but he's actually good for the game. That we kind of need that guy.
That's a good point.
That would be good. Okay.
Everybody needs a villain.
That's right. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Now, we started with Harden. Do you, as we were watching the end of the Sixers, and I said this as well, that I just, nothing against the Sixers, but quite frankly, I would almost rather watch the Sixers against the Bucks, because they've got, even though they don't always fit all the time, they've got better players than the Raptors. While the Raptors have the best player in Kawhi, the Sixers had strength in numbers, clearly, when they all play well. So I just, but I did not want to watch any more of that game. The inefficiency, 37%, the wasted trips down the floor, shot clock expirations. It was a dog game in a lot of ways. It was terrible. But do you think that the Sixers would give the Bucks a better battle? Because I mean, you didn't give the Raptors a chance to beat the Bucks pretty much either.
Well, I just don't know how you. What are the Raptors doing against Giannis? If you can find me an answer for that, then I'll give them a little bit of
I have one answer, but I don't know if it's a good one. Exactly. I'll give you my answer quick.
And to be honest with you, if Joel Embiid is taking on, there's a physicality that Joel, and I'm assuming Joel Embiid, who's healthy and not having, you know, the runs and everything else all this other stuff that his illnesses, bronchitis or whatever the heck it was, a healthy Joel Embiid is going to body the heck out of Giannis Antetokounmpo, and more importantly, Giannis ain't driving in the lane. Like, I'm bigger than you, I'm longer than you. You know I'm scoring at the rim, and what are you going to do about it? The 76ers, I think, can combat that a little bit. I don't know how Marc Gasol's doing that in any capacity at all.
Well, he'd have to do it with a double team, which makes you very vulnerable and susceptible to the shooters on the perimeter.
Especially Malcolm Brogdon's back now.
Oh, yeah. Middleton's going to knock down a couple.
Middleton.
George could get hot. We've seen it, and there's no doubt. Bledsoe, he's a little streaky, but certainly viable for sure. My answer was going to be how it was the how did the Raptors, did the Raptors actually slow the Greek Freak? I was going to say, you throw Gasol to body him up, obviously not the foot speed to hang with him, and then that second defender, you can race Ibaka, who's actually pretty nimble.
Ibaka's getting older. Ibaka's an athlete. 6'10".
He's an athlete.
6'10". Yeah, he could do it.
And Siakam's got a little length, so you can coach around that, maybe not for seven games or four wins, but I don't know. I certainly think the Bucks are going to advance. I think the more interesting series to me would have been the Sixers and the Bucks.
Yeah, I think you're right. But it is exciting to see Kawhi Leonard because of the drama surrounding what happens after, right? Because if they find a way, look, it's possible. In a game seven against a team that you probably were inferior to on paper, talking about the 76ers, you go drop 41 and the game winner with 4.1, you know, whatever it was when he let the ball go, 0.1 second on his hand on the clock. It's really a buzzer beater. You got to give Kawhi Leonard his credit.
He
is a superstar among superstars, and he just doesn't, because he's not outspoken. He's not vain. He's not bombastic. He's not pounding his own chest or tooting his own horn or putting social media nonsense out there at all times. We tend to overlook his superstardom, but on game day, it's hard to find matches, for him as far as production in critical moments. So in that sense, I think it's awesome that they're in the Eastern Conference Finals. It is the North, right? Toronto.
We are the North.
They're fantastic fan base.
Yeah.
All right? Against a nouveau, in this sense, fan base. It's interesting because these are non-traditional. This is a non-traditional East power.
Yep. For our generation. Back in the day, it was a very traditional
power
with Lou Alcindor and Oscar Robertson.
If you're dialing it up, like what Eastern Conference teams at the beginning of the season that I want for perfect ratings, you wouldn't have picked the Bucks in the raft.
No, they'd be of the teams that we thought had the ability to win 50 or more.
Yeah.
They would be among the lowest placed teams because you'd have Boston higher.
Agreed.
You know,
no
so,
doubt. 76ers.
76ers would be higher, bigger market, top 10 Philly.
I agree. But because you have an MVP candidate and another MVP winner or potential defensive MVP and potential MVP candidate in the coming years in Kawhi, it's compelling because these are two of the best players in the game right now.
It's going to be fun. All right, coming up next, Chris Broussard, Fox Sports NBA Insider. Couple of things to talk to Chris about here. The Lakers coaching duo. They're higher.
The Cavs coaching.
For sure.
Decision.
The Cavs situation. Beeline getting paid. Going from the college campus to the riches of the NBA. And the conference finals. And maybe a little something on free agency as well. Broussard's dialed in. He's with us next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Sounds like a little new addition. What is this? Sounds like... I said, it's Bruno. It sounds like a little. Did he sample this from New Edition? Sounds like it. I think, yeah, I bet you our next guest is going to know the answer to that. We'll ask him in a minute. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Hot and busy NBA day. It's that time of year, which makes perfect sense to bring in our next guest, Chris Broussard, Fox Sports NBA insider. And I catch these guys home on the way home, just probably about 4 or 5 miles away from my home. I throw on the Odd Couple. I've known Rob Parker for a long time. Broussard's good as they have nice dive. Totally different guys. Totally different. One's in church. One's at the strip club as the open goes. I am genuinely a fan of their open. I have a good. Their opening segment is always good. And Chris is with us here on the show. Chris, what's going on, buddy? How are you today?
I'm great. How you guys doing?
Good, man. Was that a little New Edition sample right there? What was that? Was that a little cooler now? What was going on with that?
Yeah, it sounded like, a lot of, and I like Bruno Mars. I mean, I think he's great. My wife is a huge fan. But a lot of his stuff sounds like B-side 1980 stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not New Edition, Chris. It's more like Cameo.
Okay. All right. How you been, buddy?
It worked today. It would have been interesting to see if he would have been as big back in the day when that stuff was commonplace. But
good point.
It worked today, that's for sure.
All right. Yeah, let's go. Talk some hoops here, Chris.
Hey, look, Chris, we saw the hiring of Frank Vogel.
Give it 3 months, it'll fail.
I mean, it just feels like, why? If you're going to hire Jason Kidd or force him to hire Jason Kidd as the assistant, why not just hire Jason Kidd as the head coach? Doesn't this feel forced?
Well, look, when I first heard the news, I was stunned like everybody because of the four guys that were left in the running, Jason Kidd, Mike Woodson, Lionel Hollins, Frank Vogel, would have been my fourth choice, I thought, And then I thought, okay, if I look at Jason Kidd and Vogel, it would have seemingly made more sense to have Jason Kidd as the head coach and Vogel as the assistant. Kidd has the respect of the players, has the respect of LeBron James. Vogel more of a tactician. That would have seemed to be the way to go, as the assistant. Then I started making some calls. I talked to some people close to LeBron. And look, because to me, the main thing for the Lakers is whatever the case, no matter who you get in free agency, who the head coach is, the most critical factor is that LeBron James has got to buy in, period.
Yeah.
If he doesn't buy in, you're in trouble. If he does, obviously he's still one of the best players in the world. You got a chance to, have a decent season. I'm told LeBron is going to buy in. I'm told that LeBron has great respect for Vogel. I don't want to overstate it, but that he goes back and to those series when LeBron was in Miami, Vogel was in Indiana. And look at the teams. LeBron's Miami team, obviously with Wade and Bosh, have far more talent than Paul George, George Hill, Roy Hibbert, David West in Indiana. And those Indiana teams gave them some trouble. 7-game series 1 year, 6-game series the other 2 years. They meshed 3 straight times in the playoffs. So I'm told LeBron thinks that Vogel is a good coach. And so LeBron's going to give him a shot. So if Vogel shows that he's dotted his I's, crossed his T's, and is prepared and has a good strategy for the Lakers that LeBron thinks is solid, then I think you're going to get him to buy in. And that's the key. Look, let's face it, guys, Portland is in the conference finals. And no disrespect to them, but you can't tell me a Lakers team with a healthy LeBron and the talent just that they have right now, forget who they might add, couldn't play with Portland in a 7-game series. So I think that's how LeBron has to look at it. And if he buys in 100%, then I think it can work with Vogel. Vogel was obviously not impressive in Orlando, but I thought he was pretty solid in Indiana. There are those that think Larry Bird's presence and some other his bench with Nate McMillan and other guys, that was the key. But whatever the case, Vogel had to get the credit as a head coach. So we'll see how it goes. But the thing about, Kidd replacing him right away, here's the thing. They cannot be – the last thing you want in L.A. is another duo, where Vogel is terrible with Vogel. LeBron is skeptical. And then kid becomes a head coach in, you know, 5 months or 4 months, midway through the season. That is the last thing you want, because that essentially wastes a second season of LeBron James in L.A.
Yeah, but Chris,
so I
but
don't
Chris,
think that's the plan.
But that's what's going to happen. That's the problem.
It won't happen if LeBron buys in.
It won't happen
if he buys in. And then now, look, you look at the situation with Black and Luke, and I get it why people are skeptical.
Yeah.
But I'm being told this by people close to LeBron.
Okay.
And that, look, the Lakers are obviously making their own decisions. But I'm also told they have run everything by LeBron, not for his consent, not for, hey, LeBron, do you like this? What do you think? Can we do this? But they're keeping him abreast of what they've done. If he offers his opinion, they take it. They're not necessarily going to agree to it, but I'm told that he is being kept in the loop. But he's not, he's not trying to make decisions. He's not giving them a list of this is who I want to be the head coach. But I'm told that he's on board with this. So we'll obviously have to wait and see what it looks like once the season begins.
All right, we're talking to Chris Broussard. Chris, Fox Sports NBA analyst, FS1. You see him all over the tube on the Speed with Skip and Chad, and he mixes it up with those guys. He hops on the Herd all the time with Colin, and he does the Odd Cup with Rob Parker. I mentioned that before, 7 p.m. Eastern on Fox Sports Radio. Let's get to another move that was pretty interesting and pretty out of left field. Listen, I know you played college basketball. D2 or D3? Which level did you play?
D3.
Okay. But you played. I know you played some football as well. You're an athlete. So you're not just a reporter, but you're an athlete. So you see things the way athletes see things. And we know that John Beilein isn't a good head coach. He is a superb sublime head coach in terms of tactician and being a strategist. You think he works in the NBA?
Yeah, that's a great question. Obviously, he's going to a young team. Kevin Love notwithstanding. So that could help work in his favor. But, look, in the NBA, it's not just about the X's and the O's. It is about being able to manage the egos and get professional players who make more money than you to buy in. One reason a lot of college coaches struggle at the NBA level is because they are used to having total, absolute control. They control the players because of the scholarships. They've recruited the guys, so on and so forth. And Beilein, as he's been, like you said, a great college coach. But for the most part, it's not quite Brad Stevens with Butler, but he hasn't had, the superstar, five-star recruit.
That's true.
For the most part.
That's true.
That's worked for Stevens until he got a Kyrie Irving.
Uh-huh.
Like, Stevens got away unscathed for the most part this year. But I was one of the few that said, look, you have to look at him. And I'm not saying he should be fired. He shouldn't be fired. He's a very good coach. But now we're going to see, can he manage the egos? Can he handle a Rolls Royce like Kyrie Irving, whereas he's been the little engine that could coach? And, with these underachievers and guys that want to show they belong in the NBA and all that he's fine with that. What's he do when he gets a star?
Yeah.
And we saw it wasn't good this year. But Beilein, look, I think you look at this, it goes back to Dan Gilbert. We know about his Michigan ties, his Michigan roots. That's where you have to look to see where in the world this hire came from. Remember, it was Dan Gilbert who hired David Black.
Yep.
And he's always been involved, and so that's where this came from. I'm as curious as you and everybody else to see if this works, especially with a guy who's 66 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
Not like he's some, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure, of course.
He's not Brad Stevens.
You better win soon.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I get it. It's the reality. We're not saying anything out of school. You better win soon. We're talking to Chris Broussard with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Chris, I think that Brad Stevens, who we were just talking about, he's okay with the Boston Celtics. I think Mike Malone also is okay with the Denver Nuggets and the teams that lost. But the Mike D'Antoni with the Houston Rockets, BT and I had a long conversation about James Harden, whether or not he ever is going to go farther than he is right now. But also Brett Brown with the 76ers. Which one of these coaches and then which one of these teams need to be adjusted, because it's not working fully to get pushed to deep into the postseason?
Well, I think D'Antoni's job is definitely safe. Obviously he's had great success, at least regular season-wise, with the Houston Rockets. I don't think he's in any danger, but you have to look. Everybody's looking at James Harden and, wow, he let's blame him. And not that he doesn't deserve some blame, but this was Mike D'Antoni, period. Like, this was the Phoenix Suns of Steve Nash. All very good. I mean, to be honest, a great team, but could never get over the hump. Mike D'Antoni has two major weaknesses as a coach: lack of attention to detail and non-confrontational.
Those are two big ones. Chris, wait. Those are big ones, Chris. Those are big ones.
Big ones, especially when you get in a series where the teams are either evenly matched or, you know, one in Golden State is maybe slight, you know, more talented, but it's close. When it's like world-class sprinting, when the difference is tenths of a second, those two weaknesses of D'Antoni really stand out and come to hinder you.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember, I can picture them now, the series with San Antonio when he was in Phoenix. They were close series. It was always a turnover here by Phoenix, a missed assignment here, a bad rotation by the Suns, his players getting off the bench during the scrum, and the Spurs players being disciplined enough not to get off the bench. All of that goes to coaching and the environment. Is it lax or is it discipline? And that's what you have in Houston. That's why they have not been able to get over the hump, even with Kevin Durant out. So that's D'Antoni. That said, I think his job is safe, as I believe it should be. Now, when you look at the Sixers, Brett Brown will be gone. I would be shocked if he keeps his job, and here's why. When you looked at that game yesterday, the lack of execution of the Sixers down the stretch was abominable. Abominable. I mean, it was terrible. Like, and what it reminded me of was Boston the year before.
Yeah.
Three of those games were there for the taking for Philadelphia, and in each game, Boston executed at the end. Philadelphia did not. Bad turnovers and such. Yesterday, same situation. Greg Anthony's on the call just screaming for Joel Embiid to go in the post. And he's out by the three-point line playing like he's a 6'3 shooting guard. And I mean, and then what they're running is not working either. They can't get a shot off. They're at the end of the shot clock. All that goes to coaching. I think Brett Brown was great to this point of the process. Now, though, you need a coach that can take you to that next level, because I do think the players showed heart that I didn't know they had.
Yep.
I like the fact, and you know, we can nitpick over Joel Embiid crying on an opponent's shoulder. That's not a great look. But ultimately, I do like the fact that he was so upset and distraught after the loss, because that's the type of pain he needs to feel to change his diet, lose the weight, and improve his work ethic. He needs all of that. And, I mean, I thought yesterday was maybe a start.
Well, 10 seconds. Who is that coach? We got to bounce, but you can't just say they need a new coach, which we agree, by the way.
Right. They need to look at a Ty Lue. I like Mark Jackson. I think he's been blackballed. So
yeah.
I'd be shocked if he gets a look. But, you know, I think a Ty Lue is a guy they'll look at. You know, do they go Lionel Hollins, Mike Woodson? You know, the usual suspects.
Okay.
I think any of those guys would be pretty good.
Chris, good stuff. I'll tune you guys on the way home. Make me laugh. Keep making fun of Parker. You get this. You get this head easy, man. I got to tell you. You do.
It's pretty simple.
Tell him I said hi, man.
Right, appreciate guys. You, Chris.
Yep. All right, there
all
he
guys,
is. Yep, you got it, brother. Chris Broussard, Fox Sports NBA analyst, and doing his thing every night, 7 Eastern, Fox Sports Radio with Rob Parker, The Odd Couple. Good show. Give it a listen if you can. It's good. A little late on the update, so we got Ack. We'll come back. Rough weekend for the guy whose name I no longer say, which is opening up questions maybe about his character and just how focused he is. We'll get to that story, Axe Update, right now. Okay, let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here on Tiki and Tierney, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's see here. How about this one? How about Jerry in Oregon? Jerry rides Blazers in the West Finals, but did Denver have a better shot of taking out a Durantless Warriors? In case you missed it, Teague, why don't you give this the first crack? In case you missed it, KD already ruled out for game one of the Western Conference Finals. No word on game two, though I think we'd all be surprised if he goes. Go ahead, Teague, what do you think?
No, I don't think so necessarily. I think these two backcourts are fantastic.
T.J. McCollum picked up so much of the slack when Damian Lillard was being basically guarded out of the game. I can't necessarily say that was true. I think if both C.J. McCollum mm-hmm. and Damian Lillard get hot on a given day and they score 70 between the two of them,
yep.
they absolutely have a great chance to beat the Warriors without Kevin Durant.
I wouldn't really disagree. I don't know if I'd say a great chance, but I certainly give them more than a puncher. Like, they don't have, put it this way, to handicap this, it's not like the Warriors have to bring their A-plus game and the Blazers have to bring their A-plus game and the Warriors have to bring their F game for the Blazers to win.
Yes.
The gap, obviously, is far more narrow than that. Now you need the backcourt to be efficient, and we'll see. All right, good stuff. We shall see. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. You know, the other thing, too, and it's proven, and we said this at the time, it's proven to be a hell of a pickup by the Blazers getting Enes Kanter.
Yeah.
He gets easy buckets.
He does get easy buckets. He's tough as nails.
Oh, he is tough.
We talk about this every time we talk about him. You forget how young he is. It's not like he's an old,
he's 26.
You know, around-the-block vet. He's young. He's still got this desire to prove himself
because
he hasn't really done that yet. He's been bounced around a couple of times. So I think there's a fire inside of him, and given the opportunity because of their injury concerns down in the post, he's making the most of it.
He is I don't know what kind of contract he's going to get this offseason. Remember, he opted out. The Knicks got rid of him. He had a player option, or I should say he opted in last summer to stay with the Knicks. You know, he's an interesting player because he's a conventional post player in a non-conventional post universe.
Agreed.
But he
doesn't exist anymore, really. Not the way that he likes to play.
And he's good.
Agreed.
And he's going to attack the softness of the Warriors' pivot, and he's going to have some moments. You know, listen, I mean, if you ask me what do I think, let's say Kevin Durant comes back in game three. What do I think happens in the series right now? Just a quick, like, over-the-top glance prediction. Not my final prediction, mm-hmm. but an early prediction. I would say Warriors in six, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to get, Blazers are going to win at least one.
I agree.
In Portland,
but if,
sure.
If KD is healthy, they can't, there's not enough people to.
No, then it's over.
Yeah.
But if Kevin Durant was playing game one and Durant was healthy, probably gentleman sweep.
Yeah.
Maybe give Portland one out of respect. Well coached. Terry Stotts doing a good job. It's golf's next major coming up, obviously, is the world's best eye, the prestigious Wanamaker Trophy. And Tiger goes for back-to-back majors and major number 16 overall. All the big names lining up and taking aim at Bethpage Black, a daunting test of golfing skill. It's the PGA Championship coming up this weekend on CBS. We'll be all over that as we get a little deeper in the week. Right now, time to blast away. Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, the Pats and Dontrell Inman, so they've made it now five new wide receivers. They have really changed their philosophy all over 6'2 this offseason, despite their history of small, shifty wideouts. You know, going back to Wes Welker, all those guys. What do we think about the Pats' new approach on offense?
Well, look, I think they're trying to find a replacement slot-wise for Rob Gronkowski. Now, they're not going to, you know, play these guys as tight ends. Benjamin Watson came out of retirement to play tight, you know, the technical wide position, the tight end position. But they like a big wide receiver in the slot or a big body in the slot. They still have Julian Edelman. Philip Dorsett is still there. Braxton Berrios, who was a rookie last year, sixth-round pick out of Miami, he's still there. But they need a position. It's not necessarily defined by the the title, tight end, wide receiver, et cetera. They need a big player, so they're trying to find one.
Listen, I also think it's the kind of thing. It's not like they're going to have five of these guys on the roster.
No,
they're whittle it down, maybe one, two max, Demaryius Thomas in the mix as well. So it seems like they've got all these giants, so to speak. But opening day, they'll probably have two on the roster.
I think.
All right, how about this? All right, I'll say his name for this. Kristaps Porzingis. This was, we all saw the footage, reportedly gets into a fight at a club in Latvia, left bloodied, his shirt was ripped. He actually pushed a woman as well as he was coming out of the bar.
I think that was his girl, though.
May have been. Doesn't make it right.
I agree.
I hear you. Already being investigated for the alleged rape before he was traded to the Dallas Mavericks. How concerned are we about KP's off-court issues? I did hear that it was a Russian some sort of Russian, not Pride Week, like a Russian celebration weekend. So it was like a, I don't know. It just seemed like there was some heightened emotions in the wrong spot. You're mixing booze, that's bad. It seems that Porzingis was attacked here. I don't think that he necessarily started this, and by his face, he certainly didn't finish it. He got roughed up a little bit. Heard he got hit with a chair, whatever. What bothers me, I don't really know what happened with the fight is what I'm saying. What bothers me is that he believes he's earned superstar status before he's really earned it. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, well, he's just like any young player who has money and still young. They put themselves in bad situations.
Yep. Yasiel Puig does a bat flip after homering off his old buddy Mad Bum. And Mad Bum calls him out for being an easy out. What do we think about Puig's bat flip
here? Man, I don't mind it. Look, you hit a home run, especially off Mad Bum. That was a mistake. That was a bad one. He left that one over the heart of the plate.
Yeah, had some height too.
I mean, that just that he didn't have to think about that one. Just swing your bat. Be strong. That one's going out of the ballpark.
Yeah, here we go.
What did I think about the bat flip?
One, two, three. For about four steps before
it wasn't like
it wasn't Batista.
Yes,
Toronto.
Exactly.
You know,
it's kind of like dismissive bat flip.
You know what? That was a good way to frame it. It was almost like, don't bother me with this nonsense. You know who I am. I'm Yasiel Puig. What is he up to? I don't even know what he's hitting. I thought Mad Bum won, though, even though he got taken yard here. He basically said he's dumb. He said it only took him eight pitches to figure out the pitch sequence, basically questioning his hitting acumen. Hitting's all about adjusting.
Yeah.
And he's basically saying he has no clue how to do that. And based on his average over the years, I don't think Mad Bum's wrong. All right. How about this, T? Chris Bryant goes 3-for-4 with a home run, 2 RBI. He's now batting .330. We kind of got on him a little
bit. I know. We did.
So maybe it's the Tiki and Tierney mojo when we call you out in addition to coming
on
the show.
His batting average has been good. He hadn't been hitting like you normally had been.
No, it was a relative absence of power. But now, since we got on him a little bit, he's hitting .333 with 5 bombs and 13 ribbies in 11 May games. How confident are we that Bryant's figured things out after a couple of dozen or a couple of down years? Yeah, I think it's gaining traction. First of all, he's been banged up, number one.
Right.
You got to factor that in. You have the shoulder explosion torque. It's a big problem. And I remember I was listening to MLB Network Radio on Sirius, and this was at the height of his absence of power. And I forget who said it. Otherwise, I would certainly give them props on this. He made a very astute point, which I think is proven right. He said his exit velo was still there. Mm. So while the ball was, he just wasn't getting lift.
Yeah.
So the exit, he was still hitting the ball. He was squaring it up, and he was hitting it hard. Now he's starting to square it up and put it in the seat. It's good for him.
He is a big athlete. We had him in studio here. You knew it was only a matter of time after all the baseball that he has in him that he would figure this out.
Brooks Koepka, speaking of big athletes here, finished fourth at the 20 under, let's see, he was 20 under Byron Nelson, 3 shots off the lead. Good lead, it was his good lead into the PGA, or should he have taken the week off to rest like most other stars? I think this, you're up first on this.
I think it's fine that he played here. A lot of other stars because this New York coast, course that out here on Long Island is such a, it's daunting.
Uh-huh.
So you rest up for it. But Brooks is a big body, man. I don't know if he necessarily subscribes to that same philosophy. So I think it's just fine. I think he played well. He's feeling confident in himself, and that's half the battle.
Listen, it all depends on personal mode of preparation. You know, historically, Phil Mickelson has played the Scottish Open before the Open Championship, and does he really need to do that? No. But it works for him, although he's only won the one Open Championship, should have two, and we thought he would never win any because it doesn't really fit his style. But the point being, I believe that you have to know where your game's at. And if you're a little loose around the green, if you're a little loose with the mid-irons, if your driver's a little bit erratic, it can't hurt to go and play a course and try to get your game in order. So Brooks knows his body. He'll be fine.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
The judge suppresses, I saw this before, the video in the Kraft solicitation case. So it's a win for Robert Kraft, and quite frankly, it's a win for all of us.
Yeah, agreed.
That we don't have to see that.
We don't have to go searching for it.
Because let's face it, we probably would have had to watch it once to do
our
job.
Somebody would have sent it. You would have watched it, and you'd have been like, ugh.
Then you heard some of the things that were going on in there, that unconventional things. I really didn't want to see that, but it's going to probably get out at some point. It usually does, but right now it's certainly a win for Kraft, and that's it. Just to restate, Kevin Durant already ruled out Game 1 Western Conference Finals, no go. Tomorrow's the lottery. Let's go Knicks. Come on, baby. Zion time. We're all over it, so.
Let's go Cavs.
Get out of here. Shut up with the Cavs. They always win. Can we win? Come on, they want Bennett, they want Kyrie,
I want
they want
Beeline to get Zion.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.